I'm speaking with David T. Little, who is the composer of the opera JFK. Thank you for joining me by phone today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I have seen the brief video about the making of your opera JFK, and in that video you say that you and librettist Royce Vavreck weren't interested in delving into the conspiracy theories and such that emerged after the assassination of JFK, but instead chose to focus on what you call these final moments of joy between JFK and Jackie. Why did you decide to take this particular focus in telling the story in your opera?
Well, as we thought about the subject and the situation that these characters were placed in, we realized that it resonated with how I've come to believe we as a society, as a culture, view John F. Kennedy, which is that he is sort of a mirror into which we look and we see our own mortality. That here is this man of immense privilege, and Jack and Jackie, this sort of legendary couple who have everything, and yet it's all taken away. And it speaks to something very fundamental about our own lives and our own mortality. And so we wanted to take an approach that examined that aspect of it, that enabled the audience to, on the one hand, view Jack and Jackie as these sort of idealized figures that we know from their public life, but also to examine them as real human beings with real struggles, both individually and within their relationship. They were dealing with the loss of not one but two children who had recently died, and a number of other issues just in their own lives, including going back to before they were married. I mean, we explored the history of Rosemary Kennedy and her lobotomy, which is a very traumatic thing for John F. Kennedy. They were very close, and this was something that was done without the family's knowledge. The father just sort of had it done. And so we saw a lot of very real human emotion, a lot of joy, a lot of pain, I feel are things that we all shared with these otherwise unreachable individuals. And so in a certain level, rather than keeping them up on a pedestal, we brought them down to the level of everyday people while sort of refracting that against the pedestal on which they are inevitably viewed.
To take Kennedy, the person who has this mythic status even today in American culture, and sort of remind us that he was, after all, human like the rest of us, is a really unusual approach to how he's been remembered.
I think there's been more of that as time has passed. You know, I think that we've seen more of that side of him and have perhaps considered more of that side of him than as just the sort of man in the presidential, you know, the office of the president. You know, one thing you mentioned is, you know, the trauma of the assassination for the country. And this is another thing that we thought a lot about, that, you know, what is this event that is about to take place, because like you said, it takes place in the 12 hours right before the assassination, and doesn't, you know, the opera doesn't go to Dallas. We don't see anything, you know, there's no reenactment of any kind of assassination. Although in terms of musical time, the opera does, you could read the ending of the opera as going to the point of the assassination. It's sort of left a little open. But we thought a lot about that idea of sort of national trauma and tried to pan all the way back to look at it in terms of the history of the country, and really looked at that moment as a time when the country changed. And so we thought about the idea of this as a kind of cosmic page turning that propelled the country from one state to the way it was before the assassination into a new and uncertain state, which followed. And so very quickly you get into a kind of mystical quality, and a mythical quality. We started looking at a lot of Greek tragedy. And so two of the three fates are actually characters in the opera. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned the not wanting to deal with the conspiracy. You know, we didn't want to get into, you know, there are all these sort of tawdry things that you could explore. You know, a lot of people, when we were first writing it, asked if Marilyn Monroe was going to be a part of it. And we said, no, that's just not, it's just not interesting for us, for what we want to explore. But we did want to kind of acknowledge that there is a sort of mystery. You know, there are all the sort of parallels with Abraham Lincoln that are kind of, you know, they're kind of fun to think about in a certain way, and they're interesting and curious. And so the characters who are playing the Fates are named Henry Rathbone and Clara Harris, who are the names of the two people who were in Lincoln's box when he was assassinated. And so there are these figures who kind of go across time and across dimensions, who are present sort of at all times at once. And so it frames the opera in a very unusual way, in that it doesn't necessarily, we're not really sure what's real, you know, and especially Jack and Jackie both existing in dream states throughout the work, and sometimes in each other's dream states. We really wanted to play with that idea of how time could work. There's this great quote from Bjork, "Love is a two-way dream," which I always had in the back of my mind as I was working on this, and as Royce and I were playing with the structure, the idea that two people can meet in a different level of consciousness. So, yeah, it's very far from a kind of realist depiction. It's very dreamlike. It's very concerned with these alternate realities, but it's still very much tied to this very real event that was just second by second growing closer.
I was also struck by this decision to depict the last day, basically, of Kennedy's life and Jack and Jackie's life together, but not to depict the assassination itself. From a dramatic standpoint, how much of an impact that is not to depict this horrifying event that we already know is going to happen. When you see an opera like Madama Butterfly and you know how it ends, you don't need to see her commit suicide. You start crying 15 minutes in because you already know that this trauma is going to happen. And so in a sense, you have done that, you know, dramatically. You've written an opera that we all know the ending to, in a way.
It's... And that was a challenge, too, you know, that was the, because that was a different tension. The work we wrote before this is called Dog Days. At the beginning of that opera, you might guess how it's going to end. But I think the ending is generally considered to be a shock to people. And so approaching JFK, it was a very different sort of process, because everybody knew the ending walking in. And so the question of how you frame that became different. And it was challenging in a certain way. It was also liberating in another way.
Once again, you mentioned that you wanted to depict these, what you call final moments of joy between JFK and Jackie in the opera. I know that you've taken a very free approach and an imaginative approach to the subject matter, but you also say in this video on the making of JFK that you and Royce Vavreck did a lot of research into primary sources. According to your research, were the last hours of JFK's and Jackie's marriage, in fact, joyous? Or, you know, is this your own kind of creative rendering of these last hours of their life together?
Well, there's evidence that they had reconciled and recommitted to each other, and that this was Jackie's first political trip in quite a while. And it was, she had been recovering from the loss of, Patrick. And so she had sort of been in mourning. And so there is, you know, there is that sense that things are a little fragile, perhaps, in the opera. As any human beings who have gone through a challenging time, there's still a little, there's a lot of reference to wounds in the work, and there's this motif, the largest wound. And I think we intended for that to be interpreted in a number of different ways. And I think the emotional wounds of being hurt by a loved one and trying to move beyond that and continue the relationship and continue to nurture and heal is one of the interpretations, I think. There is a joy and a comfort, but there's also a tension where I think you can see them still working. And I think that's also one of the things that makes it so tragic, because you see the beginning of a real resolution, but then it doesn't really arrive. And again, this isn't in our dramatization of the story.
Early on in your collaboration on JFK, I gathered that you and Royce Vavreck also made a trip to Fort Worth to commune with the ghosts there.
I think you are quoted
as having told the publication Broadway World. What did you take away from that trip?
I think we took away different things for each of us. I mean, for me, I really wanted to feel the energy of the town and understanding that it was a different place in the 1960s, but trying to understand what it would feel like to approach the town. What did it look like? What did Jack and Jackie see as they were arriving late at night from the airport? And just what did it feel like to be there? I know a lot of the initial libretto work was done in downtown Fort Worth. You know, I think places have different energies about them, and I always find it very helpful to just be someplace and not necessarily even to do anything in particular, but just to be there and absorb things. You know, we went to the hotel where they stayed, and we went into the ballroom where he gave his final speech. You know, I stood on the spot where in the mornings he addressed the crowd, gave an impromptu speech to the crowd. you know, we also went to Dallas, we went to Dealey Plaza, and we saw the motorcade route, and we went to the Sixth Floor Museum, got a sort of a special tour there, and really just had a chance to ask questions and explore, be really immersed in the material and the subject and the place, and to try to get at least an initial impression from as close as we could get. And I think it was an important part of the process.
We've talked a little bit about your general approach to portraying Jack and Jackie and their relationship. But if you could just kind of tell us about the Jack and Jackie, I guess, as individuals, as they are portrayed in your opera.
We wanted to really approach them as human beings, which is to say that they are flawed, that they are frail in ways, they have vulnerabilities, they have insecurities. You know, the first time we meet Jack, you know, when we first meet him, he's in the bathtub, which is possibly among the least presidential ways you can meet a president. It's based on research that, you know, he had a very bad back, and so he would often take baths a number of times a day to sort of relax his back. But to meet him in this vulnerable position and to see him in physical pain, I think set a certain tone. And from then, it becomes a kind of balance between the public and the private, both for Jack and Jackie. There's a lot of talk about her crown and, you know, her pillbox hat and what she's wearing, and the idea of armor is discussed often, which came from Jack's back brace, which he wore all the time. And so we really play with the tensions between those two and show an awareness of that tension in the characters themselves. So Jackie preparing to go into public and expressing doubt about that role, you know, the sort of frustration at to have to play this kind of, for lack of a better word, a character in public when she's still suffering so much from the loss of these children. And the idea that they are human and the idea of taking them off the pedestal in a way is just connecting in the same way that, oh, well, yes, they may be these very privileged individuals have had this really storybook life in a certain way, but they also are afraid of things, and they also are unsure of things. And I think that it reveals more complexity to their character than I think we are typically given when we are viewing them as representatives of the office of the presidency, but also connects us to them in a very personal way.
What, in your view, really is this public memory still, I guess, today of John F. Kennedy?
Well, it's evolving. You know, and as more and more research comes out, and as more and more things are, they're not quite classified, but, you know, as these recordings are becoming released by the family, or as things are chosen not to be released. I know there was a question about the Chanel dress that Jackie was wearing that day, and whether it would become something that could be publicly viewed or not, and the family decided that it was going to be, for another 100 years or something, out of public view. So these are things now that we will never see in our lifetime. And so I think it's still very much, you know, there's still, I guess, a kind of evolution, potentially a management on some level of this image and this memory. But it is fascinating. The memory is a changeable kind of thing. And I think every new administration also recontextualizes every previous administration as well, just in terms of the kind of president he was. I mean, we're always sort of referencing him. And so in a certain sense, the past doesn't go anywhere. You know, it's sort of always very present and very, very alive. You know, that's sort of, in a way, really informed a lot of the ways that we approach the piece in terms of time and, you know, these characters from the 19th century being present in the 20th, things like that. You know, when you're in the sort of presidential line, you belong to the country, and the country continues to revisit your service and your life story. So we're always discovering more, and we're always seeking more, and I think we seek to understand ourselves in a lot of ways. And that's my hope with this opera, is that people will leave having had an experience where they feel that they see something maybe unexpected, and maybe learn something they didn't know about these individuals. But more than that, really had an experience where they can take something away for themselves and can leave feeling that they had a meaningful personal experience with the work.
I'm Jennifer Hambrick, and I've been speaking with David T. Little, composer of the opera JFK. This is Classical 101, WOSU Public Media, Columbus, Ohio.